97.5, The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Well, that didn't go the way that we wanted. Flyers lose to the Panthers 5-2. Now have officially lost more games than they've won. 10-7-4 on the season. Out shooting Florida 37-26, but Carter Hart only able to make 14 saves on 18 shots, gets chased from the game, and it's too little too late for the Flyers, who do fall to a Florida team that at 11-5-5 isn't worlds better than they are. So very unfortunate result there for the Orange and Black. And of course, looking at the Metropolitan Division scoreboard, the Islanders beat the Penguins in overtime, so both teams getting points there. Not good overall for Philadelphia in the very early Eastern Conference wild card. They are a point back of the Pittsburgh Penguins, or actually they hold on to that second wild card spot at this point. They're a point ahead of Buffalo, but still work to be done. No doubt about it. Congratulations to Morgan Frost, who scores his first NHL goal in his first NHL game. Really good stuff there. And that was kind of about it in terms of the really great stuff. Travis Sanheim continues his tear that he's been on against Sergei Bobrovsky, but it was an onslaught from the Panthers the rest of the way, capped off by an empty netter that kind of put that one to bed. So if you were watching that game, you were frustrated. We are too. You can sound off 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. Also want to get into some Eagles stuff as promised. Before the game, we talked about how we were going to get into some hypotheticals with respect to the Eagles and the other teams in the NFC East. So we will get to that in a matter of moments. But Flyers lose to the Panthers. And that is not what you'd call a great loss. In the Metropolitan Division, the Flyers currently sit fifth. They are 4 points ahead of Columbus and, like I said, a point behind Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, in the Atlantic Division, you're looking at Boston, Florida, Montreal, and Buffalo occupying the top four spots there. So not the strongest night from the Flyers, and you can just tell sometimes you want to put one behind you. This is certainly going to be one that they want to get over. And they'll have to do it against the Carolina Hurricanes on the way back. Really good squad over there. They'll have to put this one behind them quickly. Let's go to Paul in Florida next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul, were you at the game?
I watched it. It was absolutely horrific. But I have never, I don't.
610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. All right, so let's get to this. Let's get to the exercise. Now, I was sitting here thinking about this because people have been talking about weapons a lot, and people have been talking about situations a lot. And the discussion's kind of been, where are the Eagles relative to some of these other teams, right? And it's where they stack up in terms of the division, where they stack up in terms of the NFL and things like that. So I was thinking that it's interesting to give us some perspective if we were to exercise this hypothetical here. Let's say that the GM job was open for each of the divisional teams, which is to say Washington, Giants, Dallas, and Philly. All open. And they're all open this upcoming offseason. So, you know, in a matter of months here. Or, you know what, just for fun, how about we just say that it's available right now? Any of those jobs, any of those gigs available right now. You can take your pick. You've been the favored. You're the up and coming wunderkind would be GM candidate. All of the owners love you. Any job is yours that is available. And you've narrowed it down to the NFC East. Pretty simple question is, what team would you choose? Right? Because I think that kind of answers some of the questions that people have had about situations, about weapons, about how you fix the Eagles, how you fix this team, how you fix that team, right? So just as an example, for 2019, the Eagles coming into this, I don't even know if this is 100% accurate. So, you know what? Let's look at 2020 for projected salary cap space, right? The Eagles have a projected $30 million in cap space. Meanwhile, you've got Dallas has 74 with 37 players under contract. The Eagles will have 41 players under contract. It makes a difference. The Giants have $58 million in cap space with 36 players under contract for 2020. And then Washington with 47 players under contract has almost $49 million in cap space. So the Eagles, in terms of cap space for next year, well behind the rest of the teams in the division. But what do you have? You have Carson Wentz signed to his deal. You've got a lot of the other teams looking for their quarterback solutions, namely Washington and New York. As much as I like Daniel Jones, I don't know that he's the solution long-term in New York. That's kind of yet to be seen. It's clear that you can't draw anything whatsoever in terms of a clear decision from what Washington's done juggling their quarterback room, right? And obviously there's some instability in Dallas with not having Dak locked in long-term, but you have a feeling that's going to get done no matter what. But you're looking at the wide receivers. You're looking at the age of the teams. You're looking at the status. You're looking at everything else. And which of these teams would you want to take over if you were this hotshot GM candidate that could take over any team in the NFC East? I think that, you know, you have to incorporate owners and everything like that. Otherwise, I think Washington would be a fairly attractive place to look, just in terms of the commitments that you have and things like that. They're kind of in the middle of their rebuild. That's something that would interest you, except for the fact that, of course, you've got to deal with Dan Snyder. And you've got to deal with Bruce Allen, who's still the VP of football operations or whatever. You know, you'd have to deal with those guys. So I do think that you have to incorporate all of it. Jeffrey Lurie is certainly easier to work with than a guy like Dan Snyder. But as I thought about this, I wondered where the Eagles ranked in terms of this job, if you were going to take it, right? Clearly, in my opinion, Dallas has the best situation from a GM standpoint. However, Jerry Jones is the GM. So in this scenario, Jerry Jones is relinquishing control, GM duties, and obviously all the pressures that go along with that and all of the things that go along with being the guy after the guy, you have to deal with there. But from a roster standpoint, right, you look at their young defensive talent, you look at their offensive talent, you look at their line, you look at a lot of things. I think Dallas is an attractive job right now. I think you'd probably be hard-pressed to say that's a less attractive job today than the Philadelphia job, just considering everything that you'd have to do. Because there is a lot to do. This kind of stems from a conversation that we were having earlier about the Eagles and how to do the rebuild and how they should accurately and properly pitch this idea of trying to put together a team that can compete long-term as well. How would you want to compete with the other NFC powerhouses with, you know, the least muss and fuss possible? The thing that I think about when I look at the Eagles job that makes it difficult is that you've got veterans. You've got an older roster, right? The young talent in the pipeline is not really there, right? Sidney Jones is one of the guys that you're looking at, and it's like, this guy's probably not a part of the future. Nelson Agholor was a first-round pick not that long ago. That guy's not a part of the future. If you're not a big fan of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I wouldn't blame you. That's something that you look at and you think, well, I don't know, maybe not. That's something that you have to evaluate, right? And by the way, that's the matchup that I'm looking forward to in the Seattle game, as I'm watching to see what happens to Eagles Twitter if DK Metcalf does anything against Philadelphia, knowing that he was selected after J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the draft, right? That's going to be something to behold. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. But the responses on Twitter have been coming in already. Josh Rabick, if you could assume the role of any GM or the GM for any team in the NFC East, which would you choose and why? That's the tweet that Josh laid out there. Mike Cooney, with a great answer, says, Washington. I couldn't do any worse than what they have. I mean, that's pretty interesting. Low job expectations. I'm in on that. Superstar Galaxy tweets in, the Birds. If I had professional receivers, I have a contender. I mean, that's the truth. And then lots of other people saying, why would I ever want to be associated with the Cowboys, Giants, or Washington? Which, you understand. I don't mean from a fan standpoint. I mean, you're trying to do the best job that you can. What's the most attractive job in terms of being a general manager, right? If your objective is to win the Super Bowl and to have a long, sustained run of success, how would you do it? I'm trying to think of what it would look like if you took over as GM of the Eagles. What would you even do, right? I mean, first of all, we just assume that it's Howie Roseman who's garbage at picking all of these players. Is it possible that, like, there's institutional failings where the scouts aren't working well, the scouting department is failing to provide the proper information, whatever, I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not speculating here at all. But if you're the GM of the Eagles, right, you're trying to fix, in no particular order, linebacker, wide receiver, defensive line depth, offensive line depth, right? Like, that's without even looking at if you wanted to upgrade at running back, if you wanted to upgrade at corner, right? There's a lot to do with the Eagles. Now, don't get me wrong, there's opportunity there, too. It's not always about, like, just the gloom and doom and, hey, look at how much you have to do, right? Because, I mean, if you're looking at the New York job or the Washington job, the teardown's kind of already begun. That's interesting to me, because you don't have to do a lot of the fat trimming that conceivably the Eagles will have to do here if you become their GM. And I don't think that Dallas job is a perfect job either, because Dallas is the only team that's committed the cardinal sin, which is you don't pay the running back the big money. You don't
genius,
do
genius, genius.
You just can't do it. You can't do it. But Joe, Zeke is different. Just like Saquon Barkley was different. How would you like this to be the first year that Saquon Barkley got paid the mega bucks? And then you're a Giants fan, you're like, what the hell? He missed all these games. Really? One of the most beaten up positions in the NFL seems like a poor position to throw money after if you're running the team? You don't say. How's the Le'Veon Bell investment paying off for the New York Jets? How's the Todd Gurley investment paying off for the Los Angeles Rams? There's a balance. And I know it's hard. This is what you have to do. You have to draft a running back, have them be really, really good, and then evaluate whether you can sign them to a team-friendly deal or else move on. Because that is the key to all of this. The running backs who are getting paid, by and large, aren't helping anybody. And Dallas, for all of the savvy moves that they have made, and I'm not saying that at the time it was a mistake to pay Ezekiel Elliott, because based on the information that you had, and their record with Zeke and without Zeke and everything else, good player to have. No question about it. Had to make the move. But before we say, oh, Dallas is the best situation for any would-be up-and-coming GM, don't forget they paid Zeke the money. And as a result, it could cost them Amari Cooper, who, by the way, the Eagles should significantly look into signing this offseason to weaken Dallas and bolster your team. But we'll get to that. I don't want to take all the solutions. For one of the solutions, let's go to Jerry in North Philly next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerry, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Hey, Jerry, how are you, man?
I'm great. So this is what I would do. I'd take the Eagles job, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First thing I would do was walk in, tell the team, listen, guys, we're going to win the Super Bowl. But the sad part is about it that half you guys aren't going to be here. and I would just tell them, listen, Doug, I love you. You won a Super Bowl, but you're not my guy. You got to go. Hire Mark McCarthy. Bring Mark McCarthy right in. He'll scheme wide receivers open. Get incompetent wide receivers. I'm not saying you got to get top of the line, but people who actually know how to run routes. Fire Mike Groh. He's got to go too. Keep Jim Schwartz on because he's doing good with the talent he has now. So Jim Schwartz can stay, but I'd fire those two. Get that done. Have Carson Wentz build him up and give him the confidence he needs because I just don't think his personality fits with Doug. Mm. I think if Frank Reich was his coach, it'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. He'd run the offense for him. But I think Doug's thing is a back there, stand in the pocket quarterback like Nick Foles. That kind of like old school type of quarterback. That's the type of quarterback Doug loves. I don't think he can scheme Carson Wentz better than Frank Reich could.
What is it about Mike McCarthy that has you interested, Jerry, in him replacing Doug Peterson?
I think that the way Mike McCarthy dealt with how Aaron Rodgers was like a phenom when he played under Mike McCarthy in those early days. I'm not saying that, you know, some of it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' ability, but coaching and coaching and developing players goes hand in hand. And I think Mike McCarthy can develop players. I haven't seen that from Doug Peterson, and I haven't seen Carson Wentz really take that step up that, you know, he would under another coach. I think with Mike McCarthy in there, he'd make Carson Wentz better year after year, and Carson Wentz would step up. Not maybe an Aaron Rodgers level, but just underneath that, which isn't bad company to be a part of.
Jerry, it's an interesting idea for sure. Now, who are some of the players that you say half of you aren't going to be here? Who are some of the ones that you'd think are not going to be a part of the next Super Bowl team?
You're going to kill me. I'd get rid of Fletcher Cox.
Would you?
I think he's getting long in the tooth. You know, no offense. You know, once you hit 30, to me in football, once you hit 30, it starts going downhill for certain positions. And I just don't see Fletcher Cox being that good, like, long term. I think I'd get rid of, what's his face? Nelson Aguilar obviously has to go. Get out. Don't put on a football uniform again. Just go home. Just get out. I think, you know, Zach Ertz, I love Zach Ertz, but he's a brick. As soon as he catches the ball, he falls. That's it. I'd rather let Dallas get in there and Dallas develop and let him play the main position role because I think Dallas could be a real beast if he had more time.
Man, Jerry's cutting deep. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Although, to his Zach Ertz point, I almost fell over when I saw Zach Ertz stiff-arming people in the New England game and getting yards after catch. Almost fell over. Because, I mean, it's something that you don't see often. I'm not going to kill you over Fletcher Cox. I mean, you're giving... Fletcher Cox has the big money. He's, like you said, a little longer in the tooth. He's not drawing as many double teams. Now, the one thing that you'd point to, though, is that the Eagles' defense, as you said with Jim Schwartz, starting to come together, starting to gel a little bit more effectively than it has in the past. The defensive line play has been the number one reason, right? Having Tim Jernigan back, Derek Barnett's played better as the season has gone on, Brandon Graham's done his stuff, and Fletcher Cox has kind of fit in as one of those cogs, for sure. So I think that that is something that you look at and you think, well, yeah, if you're totally rebuilding, Fletcher Cox is one that you look at, but also he's not, you know, 34 to the point where it's like you can also build around him for the next couple of years defensively a little bit. Chef Scott Sear Jr. responds to the tweet with who he would take over the GM of the Cowboys. I could tear it apart from the inside. I'm not skilled enough to lead the Eagles to a Super Bowl, so I might as well ruin the Cowboys' chances if they don't do it on their own. That's good stuff. Yeah, not a lot of people could stomach being the GM of the Dallas Cowboys, judging by our Twitter mentions. Even though it seems to me that that's probably the best job in the division in terms of what you have and what you need. I can't shake that Zeke contract, though. And I like the player, too. But he certainly hasn't delivered the... He doesn't have a two-touchdown game yet this year, right? Crazy. Meanwhile, Dak, in pursuit of the new deal, is putting up MVP-level numbers and is just kind of like smiling. And Jerry Jones like, hey, can we do that contract that we agreed to, like, you know, week one? No.
How backwards is that, too? You select Ezekiel Elliott, number four overall, the running back. You're paying him a big rookie deal. He's the guy who holds out, gets paid early. And then you have Dak, who gets selected in the middle rounds, you know, only playing the quarterback position. And he's the guy without the deal.
What a world we live in, Josh. Only in Dallas would that happen. Now, the Eagles obviously have Carson Wentz locked up to a deal. We heard people talking earlier that this is a bad deal. I don't know about that. Look, I know it's a lot of money, and I know that it's top five money, but like, some people were like, hey, this is not the guy for this money. I've never agreed to that. I think that there are quarterbacks, and there are exceptions, right? I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but I think that there are quarterbacks who have not gotten the job done, who could get the job done in the right situations. Philip Rivers is a perfect example of this. Like, if Philip Rivers had... Well, like the defense he was supposed to have this year with Derwin James and, you know, everybody else, you know, maybe this is the year. I think Matt Stafford could do some stuff in different situations. There are quarterbacks who just haven't gotten it done that could. And I'm not saying that, you know, Carson Wentz is in the category of Matthew Stafford where it's going to be a perennial also-ran or the team's a dumpster fire every single year and Stafford's just throwing for 5,000 yards or whatever. But I do think if you have Wentz, you've identified that he can play, you lock him up, now it's your responsibility to build around him and to put together the appropriate situation. By the way, that's not my preferred method of team building, for the record. I always preferred the you build the race car and then you find the driver rather than trying to just, you know, get Mario Andretti and say, hey, do something with this Corolla. You know, we got to make it happen. Shout out to all the Toyota fans out there. But that's what I don't think that you get the quarterback first and then you build, because then you never know. You never know what that looks like. If you build a really good team, there are lots of quarterbacks who can run it, and then, you know, you have more flexibility down the road. However, like Julius Caesar said, alia jacta est, the die's cast, it's over. It's done. Got to move on. As long as I'm quoting great people, I'll quote Yoda. Make a decision, make another. Remake one past, you cannot. Right? So that means they already committed to Carson Wentz, right? It's not about going back and saying, oh, you got to build the car. Oh, you got to find a way to put together a team and then find a quarterback for that. You've got the guy. Now you've got to find a way to make it work. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Bibby George tweets in. It would have to be the Cowboys. They're a tight end and a defensive tackle away from being elite. My birds have allowed themselves to get old by following the Phillies' blueprint of holding on to aging stars too long. Unless the birds cut Peters, Sproles, Nelson, Jeffrey, they are dead. In my opinion, I think that the cap ramifications of cutting these guys are severe. But they've got to find a way to get out from under Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson next year. Because, like, you have a chance of those contracts being real albatrosses. But, look, I think there's hope in the Eagles situation. I do. But I do think it's, you know, like an azalea bush. You got to kind of trim the dead in order to let the new stuff coming in. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on the Fanatic. Hey, Drew.
Yo, what's going on, Joe? How are you, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy.
Good.
So, yeah, I like the question there. I would totally want the GM of the Eagles position. And reason being is, though, I think that there's just so much you could do with that because there's just so many holes there that you could fix, especially on offense. I mean, defensively, we've been looking a little bit better the last week or so. But I think, you know, the wide receiver positions, I mean, you got to completely blow that up. I mean, Aguilar, gone. Jeffrey, I don't know. I mean, whatever, maybe. But you got to do something in that respect. And then running backs, you know, I'm not so worried about. I mean, a little bit. I think Sanders is going to come on. I mean, he's only a rookie right now, and then I'm not sure what the deal is with Howard. What's he on, like a one-year deal? So would he be gone, I guess?
Howard, well, it's up to you. I mean, if you're the GM, Howard is a free agent, so it would kind of be up to you.
Yeah, no, I would definitely try to see what's out there then, because I wouldn't put my all my, you know, marbles in that basket for him. So,
right.
But so that would be my big thing. Because I think tight end we're strong on, and again, I think it's really the offensive situation that we really got to work on. Compared to the other teams in our division, I think we're ahead of the curve, and you know, Dallas, they've got a big situation with Dak. I mean, they got to pay him, right? I mean, that's
yep.
still up in the air, right?
So for sure.
We've already got Carson. We're committed to him, and I like that. I think, you know, we just give him some weapons to work around. We could definitely, you know, be a much better team than what we're showing, I think, Joe.
Yeah, Drew, I think so too, man. And thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And you're right. There is opportunity when it comes to kind of breaking down the Eagles roster and making these decisions. Like wide receiver is, well, I mean, it's probably the most pressing need that you have. But here's the issue, right? You've got all of these great wide receivers. Like if you don't follow college football and you only follow the NFL, that's cool. Just know that this is projected to be an outrageous wide receiver draft. Like maybe the best wide receiver draft of like the last 15 years. So like it's entirely possible that you could do a whole lot of your shopping for that position during the NFL draft. So that's great, right? Like that's something that you have to pay attention to if you're the Eagles, and that's going to be one of the main areas of concern. But the other side of that is if you're dedicating that many draft picks to wide receivers, which not a bad plan if you're trying to rebuild the wide receiving core, what's suffering? Because you do have some other areas that you need to take care of as well. All right, so names to be aware of for wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy has a chance to be a top five draft pick from Alabama. CeeDee Lamb, obviously, is that burner deep threat from Oklahoma. There's Henry Ruggs III from Alabama. Justin Jefferson from LSU, who's on this list as the seventh best wide receiver. If there are six wide receivers that are better than Justin Jefferson in the country, I don't know who those guys are. Tamorian Terry from Florida State. Clemson obviously has their ridiculous array of weapons. Again, T. Higgins is the guy who's at the top of that list. Devontae Smith from Alabama. Long story short, every guy that I've mentioned has been projected to go in rounds 1 through 3 so far. And we're like, you know, I haven't even mentioned every name. We're looking at like 14, 15 players deep. There are wide receivers in this draft if you want to find them. So that's cool. Where does that leave you with tailback? Is Miles Sanders, has he convinced you that he's going to be your everyday back? Obviously, you've got offensive line issues and things that you've got to deal with there. It's not the easiest thing. There's opportunity, but Howie Roseman has a tough job ahead of him. There's no doubt about that. Mitch in Reading is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Mitch.
Good evening. If I had to choose one to be the GM of, it would be the New York Giants.
Why is that?
That $50 million is really $70 million if Eli retires.
So you got a lot of
cash.
They
have all their draft picks.
Yep.
They're going to draft in the top five. Their biggest holes are cornerback and linebacker. And they could actually have a fairly decent defense. And they're losing games by less than 10. And the defense has been the reason why.
Mm.
On the opposite side, the Eagles, at this point, two wide receivers, two offensive linemen. You're going to need at least one linebacker, two D-backs. There's a lot of holes, and this team is going to get old and old fast.
Kind of feels that way, like it's already happening, Mitch.
Yeah, and you know, you're looking at Dallas. Dallas has got a real problem because you got to figure that $30-something million is all going to Dak. They've got nothing left. Amari is as good as gone.
Yeah, Amari Cooper's out. I think this is going to be his last year there. Mitch, you're right about that. Thanks for the phone call. I wouldn't downplay the Giants' job at all because they're mid-rebuild. But I think Mitch might have some rooting interest. It's possible. But still, having said that, Washington's attractive except for the ownership position, right? Giants are attractive except for the fact that you ever have a job, like, this has never happened to me because I've never been important enough for this, but, like, I've heard of people who have gotten, like, huge mega promotions, except, like, one of their direct reports is the owner of the company's nephew or something like that. You know what I mean? So, like, you're at this VP level position, except you have very limited power over what you actually want to do because you can't execute things the way that you want to. Why am I bringing this up? Because that's exactly the case with Eli Manning. Like, that's a. I was talking to people, I was doing appearances and stuff like that early, like week one to promote the Eagles and stuff like that. And I was talking to Giants fans in casinos. And I was like, what do you think of Daniel Jones? As a reminder, Daniel Jones is coming off completing like 85% of his passes in the preseason. Like, oh, yeah, we like Daniel Jones. That's cool. Like, would you start him week one? He's like, no, Eli. Like, why? Like, what does he do better than Daniel Jones? It's like, probably nothing at this point, but Eli Manning's Eli Manning, and he can play here as long as he wants to, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if that exists. Like, I wonder if there's this mandate from on high that's like, listen, this is our Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not going to be getting rid of him. And if he says he doesn't want to retire, he's here with us, period, and you figure it out. I don't know that to be the case. It's not a report or anything like that, but that's just something to consider when you're thinking about taking the GM job of the New York Giants. Because, yeah, there's cap space that comes off with Eli Manning. If it comes off, who knows what happens? There have been worse quarterbacks than Eli Manning that have hung out and just hung around the NFL for way, way too long. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. I could do the Cowboys worse than Chip Kelly did to the Eagles. There are still people that think that Chip Kelly was like some kind of sleeper cell agent. And I have to admit, I'm here for the conspiracy theory. Not that I believe it. It's just way more interesting to me to hear to picture Chip Kelly sitting back in his office and be like, all right, I got to get rid of LeSean McCoy. Like, what's like a semi-plausible trade that's still bad, but like that we could talk people into? Kiko Alonso. Perfect. 610-632-0975. That's a low blow. I know that some people are, some people who even work at this radio station were big Kiko Alonso fans. But maybe not for the best running back in the franchise's history. We do have open phone lines. If you were the hotshot GM candidate and all of the NFC East jobs were open, you could have your pick. Which team would you select and why? And if it's the Eagles in particular, what would you do? If you were Howie Roseman, how do you fix what has gone awry? 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. We are hanging out together until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out together until midnight. Josh Rabick is producing, hot on the heels of a Flyers loss to the Florida Panthers. Not a great spot for the Flyers. Although Florida is second in the Atlantic Division at this point with 27 points. The Flyers 24 Although Florida's, well, they played the same number of games. I thought the Flyers had a game in hand on the Panthers. Not that it matters.
Different. I remember because I drink.
That's exactly right, Coatsy. Thank you for that. So as a result, we're trying to quickly turn the page and figure out if you were the hot new GM candidate on the market. Remember how like Ben McAdoo was the number one head coaching candidate and everybody wanted him? Doug Peterson is like the last choice. But yeah, Ben McAdoo chose the Giants when it looked like it was signed, sealed, and delivered with the Eagles. And then I can't remember the story with Adam Gase. Said Adam Gase didn't even want to interview with the Eagles. I can't remember what that was. There was something there with Adam Gase. I don't know. All I can think of now when I think of Adam Gase is the press conference where his crazy eyes are following the taco around. I mean, like, that's all I can think of. So who knows? But the tweet from the show that Josh Rabick, who's producing this evening, put out, if you could assume the role of GM for any team in the NFC East, which team would you choose and why? So, Josh, if I were to put that question to you, and to kind of lay that opportunity in front of you, which direction would you go?
Well, you have to start off and look at the quarterback position because that's the most important position. I think there's two teams right there. I mean, right now you don't know what Daniel Jones is. He still has the fumbling issues. And obviously we have no idea about Dwayne Haskins. So it comes down to the Cowboys or Eagles. And right now there's a lot more good young core talent for the Cowboys there. You're going to run into that issue with Cooper and Prescott, obviously. You're going to have to get Prescott signed, and you got to see what you can do there. But I think with how young that offensive line is, having Zeke in place there, and I actually do like Jarwin as a receiving option. So I will say mix that in with the young linebackers they have, and I do like what the Cowboys offer.
Yeah, me too. That was my first reaction. And then I was like, well, you got the Jerry Jones thing. You got the Zeke thing, and then, of course, you've got, as a result of the Zeke thing and the Dak thing, there's the not Amari thing. It's a lot of things. But, I mean, you look at their linebacking situation, their linebackers are in pretty good shape. You look at their tight end situation, tight end's in pretty good shape with Blake Jarwin. And, you know, by the way, you know that at some point they're going to go to Jason Witten in some kind of big spot, and that's going to work out well. But Blake Jarwin makes big plays, goes down the field, stuff like that. And then, of course, there's Dak Prescott that you do have to worry about paying, which is its own situation, of course. But you don't necessarily have to worry about anything else too large. If you're the Eagles, there are tweaks that you need to make. There's no question about it. We talked about Washington and New York. You don't have quarterbacks at this point, but if you're Washington, you're going to be closer to the top of the draft if you like this crop of quarterbacks, right? If you're the Giants, it depends on whether you believe in Daniel Jones or not. It kind of determines whether you're going to be interested in taking that job. Because if you do, that job's appealing because you don't have Jones on a quarterback extension kind of deal. So that's something that's attractive in itself. Just thought we'd take a little trip down hypothetical lane here. Mikhail Nasiewicz Jr. Comes in and tweets, Washington, because I would fold the franchise. We're getting a lot of this. We're getting a lot of that kind of sentiment. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, so a couple of things. First, on the Flyers, whatever they're paying Hayes and they're paying JVR, they're overpaying those guys because Hayes has 1 point in the last, like, 11 games, and JVR has one goal in the last 10 games, and they're both overpaid.
Well, I mean, gloves don't work in the scoreboard, eh, bud?
So, Lance, I would say that Kevin Hayes, I agree, they haven't gotten the return on the investment. JVR's look like the least lucky hockey player I've ever seen. Like, the posts and the stuff that he's getting, I'm not making excuses, you got to finish him off, but I'd put those guys in kind of two different categories right now.
I mean, JVR, man, like, every time he comes back, he's been in Philadelphia, he struggled. The only time he was really, really good was in Toronto, and he was playing on a really good line.
Mm-hmm. So, that's true.
I mean, it's tough to say he's that boat. But with the Eagles, and then I'll get to your guys' question. Okay, so I went and looked at this, because I wanted to see what the Ravens, how they did when Hollywood Brown went out of their lineup and he was gone for two games, mm-hmm. once against the Bengals and once against Seattle. And Seattle, they scored 30 points, but they had a return touchdown by Peters, so okay. really 23 points.
Yep.
And the Bengals game, they scored 23. So they're just averaging about 23 points when he's out of the lineup. When he's in the lineup, they're all the way at 33.3 points per game. So to me, I look at it, that guy's an MVP right now, the league, and their offense drops by 10 points as soon as you take out Hollywood Brown when out of that lineup. That, to me, tells you everything that you need to know. Even the Chiefs, like, I haven't gone and looked at it yet, but I'm telling you, with Tyreek Hill out, their offense struggles way, way more than what it normally is. Even in that game last night on Monday Night Football, they struggled to move the ball at times. He only had 182 yards passing, and I know the Chargers have a good secondary, but, man, they've had trouble moving the ball consistently. That tells me wide receivers in this league are really, really important. And your quarterback, he could be great, but he's not going to be as great if your wide receivers are just bad.
Well, I mean, that's definitely true, Lance. And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with you about Patrick Mahomes either. But for whatever reason, it seemed like the Chiefs were affected by playing in Mexico City at 7,000 feet, a little bit more than the Chargers were for whatever reason. But their speed was kind of negated because the turf and everything else. Like, I think that you might be right, but I don't know if we can look at Monday night's game as like the reason why.
You have to go back to when Tyreek Hill got hurt earlier in the year. They had a couple of games where they went off, but then they started declining. Like even that Lions game, they scored 34, but they had like the weird defensive touchdown at the goal line that was returned.
Right.
And they had a whole bunch of different stuff going on where they scored points though, but they weren't scoring points like the way that they were. I'm telling you, man, like those guys are I hate saying it, but Lamar Jackson's playing at an unbelievable level. But then you look at it, you took away his best weapon offensively in Brown, because when he's out there, he's a threat every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't score more than 23 points against the Bengals. So it's one of those things, like, speed makes a difference in this league.
For sure.
And then with your guys' question, see, I would be the Cowboys, not because first I would try to ruin them, but if I couldn't ruin them and I actually had to do something to keep the job, I look at their talent. And I say their talent is young talent across the board, so it's easier for me to build. I get Dak Prescott's not. I don't think Dak Prescott's nearly as good as Carson Wentz. I think his stats sometimes are a little hollow. But I have more young talent in place, whereas I think the Eagles, I think you do have some talent there, and you have Carson Wentz, and he's the ultimate, like, best quarterback in the division. But I think based off bad drafting prior to me, it's going to be harder to consistently add and catch back up to Dallas, who has the young guys in place to go on a run.
I'm 100% with you, Lance. And thanks for the phone call. Appreciate the insight as always. When I look at what the Eagles have drafted relative to what Dallas has drafted, even if you, it's not necessarily even about talent, right? But it's about, like, what do you think your team's success looks like? I mean, you know me. You've talked to me, you've listened to me, you know that I'm at heart 85 years old. So, like, you know, 2 yards in a pile of dust is exactly what I'm looking for, a cloud of dust. Dallas is built to run the ball and do the play action game and things like that. Like, I think that that's a winning brand of football in the NFL in 2019. I don't know what the Eagles are built for right now. And so, like, on one hand, you can view it as a blank canvas. You can view it as you can turn the Eagles into whatever you want, and you have Carson Wentz, like Lance said, the best quarterback in the division. And then on the other side, you can look at it and say, well, there's no real groundwork laid. I mean, what if you don't like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? What if you don't like Sidney Jones? What if you don't like Ronald Darby? What if you don't like the other guys that have been Vitae? What if you don't like Dillard? What if you don't like a lot of the guys that have been drafted? And you're kind of being urged down that path because of the selections of the previous GM. It is tough. It's tough when it comes to the Eagles. Meanwhile, I feel like Dallas, if you don't like the direction that they're going, their pieces are more movable than the Eagles' pieces are. And then, of course, if you do like the direction that they're going, it's easy to see the tweaks that they can make to push ahead. I brought up Lamar Jackson earlier. And Hollywood Brown's name came up, and he is the leading wide receiver on Baltimore. Willie Snead is the second wide receiver on Baltimore. Three of the Ravens' top five receivers are tight ends. I mean, that kind of tells you what kind of game plan they're executing. And, I mean, the Chiefs' inconsistencies on offense. I mean, Tyreek Hill is an outrageous deep threat. He's the best deep threat in the league. No bones about it. Not going to get any battle from me. But speed's not the Chiefs' problem. I mean, they have a lot of that. DeMarcus Robinson can really move. Sammy Watkins can still fly. DeAnthony Thomas goes. They have that other guy, Pringle, right? It's another speed wide receiver. Mecole Hardman's another speed wide receiver. Kansas City's got it. I think the bigger issues with Kansas City, you know, how consistent is Mahomes going to play with his injuries and things like that. And obviously Tyreek Hill makes a big difference, and who's starting at running back makes a difference for them as well. 610-632-0975. We'll take more of your phone calls next. If you could be the GM of any team in the division, who would it be? What would you do? And, of course, we're looking ahead to the Eagles game against Seattle. It is the Joe Torty Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. This is from John Clark earlier today to speak to one of the earlier callers. The Flyers have lost three straight. And Alain Vigneault, well, now it's four straight, right? Now the Alain Vigneault challenging Kevin Hayes, Jake Voracek, and James Van Riemsdyk. Here's the quote. They're great people. I need more from the hockey player. Two different distinctions. Obviously, they feel pressure, but that's why they're being paid the big bucks. Whoa. I have to say, you don't hear that a whole lot. Coaches talking about the paychecks for the players and who's getting paid the big bucks and who's not. But to Vigneault's credit, right, Kevin Hayes gets the big bucks and everybody says, what? How much you pay for Kevin Hayes after you traded for him? And obviously the Jake Voracek deal is kind of a holdover from when he was a 100-point scorer. And then there's the JVR deal. Which, I mean, Josh, you watch hockey. Is it fair to say, like, obviously he's struggling. Obviously, JVR isn't putting the puck in the net. But isn't it fair to say that he has been really unlucky?
He has been probably the most snake-bitten player in all of the league right now. Definitely a lot of unlucky bounces, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
The unfortunate thing, though, with JVR, you bring him in there to produce. When he's not producing, though, it's a huge negative impact on the game. It's not like he has this impactful 200-foot game or anything like that.
Not blocking shots, not winning face-offs for you, not winning corner battles. He's not a puck hunter. He's there to score. If he's not scoring, he's not doing it. It's almost like having a wide receiver out there to block, you know? Great. Thanks. I'm glad that you're doing that, but what's the second word in your job title? Let's go to Brandon in North Philly next on the Fanatic. Hey, Brandon. Brandon, you with us?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Yeah. I wanted to touch on the general manager thing. It was.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I wanted to pick the Redskins, but. Thinking about Snyder, I forgot all about Snyder. That's a hard way to go, because I really respect Mike Shannon as a coach. You know, for like what he did in the league and everything, like he was the man. So I was just thinking like how everything shaked off and like, man, like that's crazy. That was a crazy situation. So I would have to go with Dallas because a lot of the guys I wanted the Eagles to pick, like Jalen Smith. I think we could have traded up for Byron Jones. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that yet.
Yep, I think so too.
Yeah, like Byron. It's certain athletes, when you see a long athlete with a little weight on him, and he got a short cone and shuttle drill, you gotta look at them. You gotta pick them. Like, you gotta get those type of athletes with that suddenness that can move as big like that. That, you know, you can't just overlook them. Like, I feel like the Eagles did that for years. Like, Jalen Smith is one of those guys, like, especially at linebacker.
Right. Well, I mean, with Jalen Smith, right, the injury concern was the big one that scared off a lot of teams. Otherwise, that guy's a top 10 pick. With Byron Jones, it's interesting that you were a fan of his, Brandon, because I know a lot of people were concerned about the level of competition that he was playing against and saying, you know, when he's coming out of UConn, who's he really D'ing up? So if you scouted that guy out, good on you. That's a good call. Maybe you should be a GM.
Yeah, listen, but, you know, because coaching comes into play when it comes to coaching, and as long as the kid got a good mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to, you know, pick up things. Coaching does a whole lot. Long, I feel like right now Swartz is a little too hard on that secondary.
Mm.
I feel like, I mean, at the same time, Michael Jenkins is struggling. He's, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, for the first time, I'm like, where is he?
Yeah, he's another step older. You know what I mean? He's gotten slower. It seems like as a result of him getting slower, right, Brandon, he can't react as quickly, so he's guessing, so therefore he's out of position.
All guys are slow back there.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess, Brandon. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You got him. Nice job, Josh. Yeah, our guys are slow. Ronnie McLeod doesn't look all that slow. He looks like he still moves. I can't believe it, but the secondary looks a little bit better now that Jalen Mills is back. Jim Schwartz said that Jalen Mills is playing at a high level, which is objectively correct. Like, that's just whether you like him or you don't like him. And spoiler alert, I'm not the world's biggest Jalen Mills fan. He's absolutely playing at a really high level. He's playing well.
Think about last year when you saw the finger wag, you rolled your eyes. He comes back. I'm looking forward to the finger wag now.
Anything other than the injury faking that we've seen from several other Eagles defensive backs, or worse, the actual injuries that we've seen from the Eagles defensive backs. Although I have to say, the worst injury fake did not occur defensively. It's Nelson Agholor dropping the ball and then like Peter Griffin on the sidewalk. Man, oh man. Then he pops up like a soccer player and is good to go.
The loser limp's real, Joe.
Loser limp. I don't know. Like, I know that I've never played at a pro level, but like the sports that I still do play and try just like to actually not hurt myself, you know, as an old man at this point, the thought has never entered my mind, like where I get smoked and I'm like, ah, the hammy.
Yeah. Worst case, you still think, well, at least I still have my health.
Exactly. I don't know, man. Look, it's possible Agholor like thought he was hurt or whatever, but I mean, I don't know, man. I've seen like Martin Gramatica injure himself celebrating after he made a field goal. I saw Vontae Davis tear a pectoral muscle after celebrating an interception. Things like that happen. Like, that's after success. But after failure, sometimes it's like you failed because of the injury. Pretty rare that, like, after the failure occurs, that's when the hamstring tweak comes in. Or the knee pain. 610-632-0975. It's your phone number. Waldo Vince tweets in. Cowboys. Because I could just trade Dak and Garrett for Wentz and Peterson and have an unstoppable team. Do you think Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz on the Cowboys makes them unstoppable? It's a pretty good squad. I don't know. I've got to say, Doug Peterson's got to win me back from a play-calling perspective. He might be a really good motivator of men, and I think that that's an underrated part of being an NFL head coach, is managing guys. Like, look, I don't know how NBA coaches do it. Like, how in the world could you actually get NBA players in line with the difference in what they're making relative to you. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's a respect factor that's really, really hard to command. And that's what makes me admire guys like, you know, Greg Popovich, who have earned it and can do that. I don't know. But from a play calling perspective, Doug Peterson, the innovation has not been there. Although I have to say he's better than Jason Garrett is. Ruin Today tweets in, the Ravens' tight ends add a factor I haven't seen in the NFL. Even when you have to tackle them, they still look like they're punishing the defender. That has to weigh on the defense by the fourth quarter. Look, with all due respect to Josh Perkins and everybody else, you know, the Eagles don't have three tight ends that they could reasonably count on. Not when they're picking Alex Ellis off the scrap heap, throwing him back on the scrap heap, and then picking him back off again. But they've got two. That's why I'm surprised they haven't tried to make the Ertz-Goddard duo more central to their attack. Because that way, you know, you could justify not having Mac Hollins involved whatsoever in the offense. Guy just wants to play special teams anyway. Just tells you. 610-632-0975. He's like, who's the dude from Blue Mountain State? What's his name?
Oh my. Do I go this way?
Yeah, not him. Not Thad Castle. No. The main character, Alex Moran. Yeah, oh, thank you, Josh. Whose objective in life is to remain the backup quarterback. It's like Mac Hollins. Mac, you're starting today. Starting what? Starting what? Receiver? I just want to play special teams. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.